From the Christian Research Institute in Charlotte, North Carolina, this is the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. We're on the air because life and truth matter. On today's special edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, we present an episode of the Hank Unplugged podcast in which Hank talked with the Director of Communications at Living Stream Ministry, Chris Wilde. Here now is Hank Hanegraaff.
And welcome to another edition of Hank Unplugged. I'm so excited about this podcast. I think among all the podcasts that I've ever done, this is going to be one of the most interesting, because I'm doing this podcast with someone who is a very close friend. He's an unlikely friend. He is someone that I would have never imagined could be a friend, but today he is one of my closest friends. Chris Wilde now joins me. He is well-traveled. Like me, he has been involved in radio broadcasting for decades. He has the perfect voice for radio. He's the envy of a lot of people. His voice is unbelievably suited for broadcasting. And he is, as I mentioned just a few moments ago, he's an unlikely friend, someone whom the Christian Research Institute considered at one time cultic at best. Chris Wilde serves as Director of Communications at Living Stream Ministry, and he is a participant in a move of the Spirit known as the Lord's Recovery or the local churches. This is a ministry that traces its origins all the way back to a man named Watchman Nee. Chris, I am delighted to be doing this podcast with you.
It's always just such a delight and pleasure to be with you in any context, in any setting, and over the past dozen or so years, Hank, you and I have had the chance to be in some really unique places, and just to sit and chat with you about those or anything else you like to talk about, it's a real pleasure for me. Thanks, brother.
Well, I'm delighted to have this conversation with you as well, and there's so many things I want to introduce those that are listening in to during this conversation. You and I have traveled the world together, but we met back August 4, 2003, and at that time, the Christian Research Institute considered you and the recovery, the Lord's recovery, the local churches, we considered you cultic at best. And I suppose we should just start out by laying the cards on the table. I mean, we at the Christian Research Institute were a fountainhead of misinformation with respect to the Lord's recovery. Way back in the 70s, we began producing literature that became this stream of information that not only touched the world in the West, but eventually touched the Eastern world as well. And for the Lord's recovery, that stream of material may have been embarrassing in the West for many adherents of the Lord's recovery, but in the East, it had draconian implications. In other words, in the East, there are people who were imprisoned and lost their lives as a direct result of ideas having consequences. In other words, fact sheets getting into the hands of the wrong people and then having a consequence that is beyond our comprehension. So I'm going to go back, Chris, maybe to that time when we first met. And it's imprinted in my mind, August 4, 2003. That was a time in which we had an unlikely encounter, actually an encounter that was, as I recall, set up by Celia Yates, who was a publishing agent for me and someone that also did work for Living Stream Ministry.
Yeah, that's correct. We met Celia probably earlier that year. It was maybe a year or two before, actually. But even at the very first meeting with Celia, we began to kind of give him some of our background. He was aware of a bit of it. Celia's got a really broad, you know, network of friends and those with whom he has close fellowship. And so he was recommended to us as somebody we should get to know, hoping that he would be able to network us and connect us with people that would be willing to give us a kind of a fresh hearing. And you were the first name that came out of his out of his voice. I remember that day. And we were kind of shocked because as much as the information you had about us was less than accurate, I think that at least the image and the impression that we had about you and CRI were equally inaccurate. So he had to suggest it a few times, and we had to pray a lot. And it was really when he finally urged us with some authority that we agreed. But I think you and I both know, and we've talked about this many times, Hank, that that was a day that the Lord's hand was really on both of us and on all of us that were involved.
It was an interesting time because I didn't know that much personally about the local churches, about the Lord's Recovery, about Watchman Nee, about Witness Lee. I had inherited information as president of the Christian Research Institute, but I wasn't on top of it. Yeah, and so I thought I'd bring a couple of people with me. I brought Gretchen Passantino, who did a lot of writing for Walter Martin, particularly on this subject, and Elliot Miller, who was the editor-in-chief of the Christian Research Journal. And I decided to bring them only because I thought that they understood this subject a whole lot more intimately than I understood the subject. And therefore, I would get clarity not only from our side of the perspective, but from the recovery side of the spectrum. But that was seen by some of the people that were going to gather in this meeting as perhaps somewhat of a trap. I mean, there was some trepidation, there was some mistrust at that time.
Yeah, you know, when we were reviewing kind of our history with CRI and with Walter Martin, because we'd never had any direct dealings with you, of course, in those early days back in the 70s, when the in first batch of research, such as it was being undertaken, our dealings were mainly with Gretchen and with her husband and brother and a few others. I think Elliot was also involved. And so because we felt the critique or their evaluation was so inaccurate and so wrongly represented us, and that we realized and found out later that how much it also had influenced the opinion and evaluations of others who were very respected, as was CRI, we had a lot of misgivings about particularly Gretchen. Of course, her husband from the 70s, Bob, had passed away, or about that time had passed away. But I remember telling Seeley very directly, you know, Seeley, we've decided we'll meet with Hank, but on one condition, that Gretchen does not have anything to do with it. Of course, we just didn't have any trust, you know, and there had been a lot of, some personal encounters, not with me, but with others, and so there was just a lot of, I think, mutual distrust, and she had good reason to, you know, probably distrust us. And so I remember when I got to your parking lot there in Rancho Santa Margarita at the time, and Seeley came out and told us that Gretchen was there. We almost got back in the car and left. But he said, no, wait, please, can we just pray? And so we did, about four of us, I think, in the parking lot. We just tried to empty ourselves of our own opinions and our own prejudices and our own anxieties, and just freshly ask the Lord, you know, to lead us together. And, you know, the Lord answered. I felt that prayer. We all had a peaceful feeling and decided to go in. And, of course, I think the rest is history, as they say, Hank, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And this is, again, a meeting that is emblazoned upon my mind for so many reasons, because I think about one person after another in that meeting from the recovery side was testifying to me that they upheld the essential teachings of the historic Christian faith. So to the accusation that the recovery claimed to be the only church, the response was, no, we are only the church. And to the accusation that you guys are modalists, you respond, no, we're thoroughly Trinitarian. Nothing could be further from the truth. And I think the biggest thing was the accusation that people in the local churches, as mere people, believed that they could become God and that they could be deified in the same sense that maybe the Mormons talked about it, or in a similar sense. And so, you know, we as an organization had produced materials that had led to books and pamphlets and articles that dubbed the people, the participants of the recovery, as godmen. And that in a cultic sense. And to that accusation, so many within that meeting made it absolutely clear that nothing could be farther from the truth, that the way in which the recovery believed that they could be like God was in the very same sense that was affirmed by luminaries like Athanasius. And then in that meeting, I don't remember who it was, but one of the participants said that it would be a great heresy to suppose that we may become God as God is in the Godhead. So the distinctions were plain, and immediately I saw that either we had faulty information or you guys were making up a story, and I could not believe that the people gathered in that room, leading ones in the recovery, were making up a story. So that very day, I decided to pull everything that we had at the Christian Research Institute out of circulation and start a primary research project. And I decided to use Elliot Miller and Gretchen Pasentino, who were the fountainhead, primarily, of the information through the Christian Research Institute, the information that we had passed along to the rest of the world. I conscripted them as being the primary people to be involved in this primary research project. And that started a revolution in our relationship.
Hank, you know, when you first told us that, of course, the event or one of the events of that meeting is so emblazoned also on my mind and my recollection was how quickly, once you heard our testimony, you know, of what we value as the historic Christian faith, as you put it, the items of the faith, those of which we are not at liberty, you know, to give on, you know, the non-negotiables. And the list is short, but it's got to be absolute. And so we gave you that testimony and then just answered maybe one or two very basic questions. And immediately, you stood up, and I watched Gretchen, and I watched Elliot, and they were shocked because you said, I don't know where this is going to go. But you said, I will tell you one thing. Based on their testimony, from this point forward, we're having fellowship, not just dialogue, because these are my brothers. And, you know, we were quite taken aback. And you then told me, I can't remember if it was me personally or maybe a couple of us gathered together when we were, you know, just chatting at the end. You said, brothers, I want to be absolutely right on this one. I want to get this one right before the judgment seat of Christ. And boy, Hank, that really registered with us. This is a man not only of, you know, renown or repute, but positive repute. You know, your reputation preceded you. The Bible, you know, the host of the Bible Answer Man. But this is a man of great integrity and spiritual integrity. You know, sometimes they don't go together. You might meet a man whom you judge as being a man of integrity, but then when you get into spiritual things, you find out maybe there's two standards, but it was very clear. There was just one person who was under authority and headship, and that's you, and your reverence, not just to God, but to his word, was abundant and clear, and that set the tone. And I remember you even having to to push back a little bit on Gretchen and Elliot because they were not as quick to extend that right hand of fellowship. So I think we all kind of went away wondering if that was a good choice on your part. But now in retrospect, looking back, boy, oh boy, I've thanked the Lord so many times for your wisdom or for the Lord being your wisdom in that moment because they were exactly the right ones to do the job. And now that seems so obvious. But at the time, you know, we were not quite as comfortable with it. So anyway, I think I've told you this before, but I just want to repeat it, Hank, because it made such an impression on all of us. And I think that became a foundation, to be honest, not just for our our interaction together over the next 6 or 7 years while CRI was conducting the research and the investigation. But what has become just such an incredibly wonderful and friendship and relationship in Christ, and one which I think to the fullest extent glorifies the Lord, because like you say, in both cases, either from your end, from our end, it's not a friendship we would have forged in any other circumstance. We were there at the initiation and the operation of the Holy Spirit. There's no other way to, I think, couch it.
Don't go away. In just a few moments, we'll rejoin Hank Hanegraaff's conversation with the Director of Communications at Living Stream Ministry, Chris Wild.
Hi, this is Paul Nelson from Biola University and Discovery Institute. I'm a big fan of Hank Hanegraaff, the Bible Answer Man, and Christian Research Journal. In fact, I contribute articles to that magazine and really enjoy its broad coverage of so many issues that come up for Christians in contemporary culture. And this program is equally valuable. By covering a wide range of topics, it provides Christians with essential arguments and material to use to answer the challenges raised by a secular culture. Moreover, it gives them tools to present their own view in that culture. So I'm really an admirer of what this organization does.
During the critically important final days of 2017, help equip fellow believers to fight the good fight of faith and call 888-7000-CRI to make a tax-deductible year-end gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Don't tune out. Hank Hanegraaff and Chris Wild will be back in a moment. Dr. Eben Alexander's wildly popular near-death experience book, Proof of Heaven, assures us that no matter what we do in this life, only unconditional love and joy await us in the world to come. But our Lord warned that while the gate to hell is wide, the road to it broad, and those who enter through it are many, the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Your generous support lets Hank Hanegraaff and CRI speak out against the lies that lead to hell. In appreciation for your gift today, we'll rush you Hank's book, Afterlife, What You Need to Know About Heaven, the Hereafter, and Near-Death Experiences, filled with answers to your questions about life after death. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now. Again, that's equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ, and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. Hank Hanegraaff and the Christian Research Institute are passionately focused on the ABCs. That's apologetics, biblical literacy, and countering cults, including world religions such as Islam. Make no mistake, there is a rising tide of militant secularism and anti-Christian thinking. Christians worldwide need to be equipped with ABC resources, for if we lose the war on these fronts, our children and grandchildren could inherit the horrors of history that are the absolute antithesis of the meaning of this Christmas season. Reflecting on the genocide that took place under Soviet communism, Alexander Solzhenitsyn wrote, "Men have forgotten God. That's why all this happened." To enable CRI to equip Christians worldwide with vital ABC resources, simply call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment.
Hi, this is Joe Dallas, contributing writer for the Christian Research Journal. Plenty of Christians know what they believe, but they aren't well-equipped to articulate, much less defend, their beliefs. That's where the Christian Research Journal comes in. Each issue provides clear, user-friendly concepts and explanations of the biblical stance on critical issues. And while I'm proud to be a contributing writer, I'm also grateful for the help I get each time the journal shows up in my mailbox. It's a tool any believer who wants to be both relevant and biblical must have.
Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI. 888-7000-CRI, or subscribe online at equip.org. That's equip.org. Now, let's rejoin Hank Hanegraaff and Chris Wilde in their conversation on this special edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast.
You know what's interesting about all of this for me, and not just interesting, but revolutionary for my life, is it was my intersection with the recovery that dramatically impacted not only my personal life, but our ministry as well. Over the years, our core values have always been answering questions, always being ready to give an answer, a reason for the hope that lies within us with gentleness and with respect. Biblical literacy, another core value we championed. If God has spoken, what has God said? You need to read the Bible in the sense in which it's intended. You need to understand the art and science of biblical interpretation. It is a science in that rules apply. It's an art in that the more you apply the rules, the better you get at it. Countering cults and world religions that set themselves up against the essentials of the historic Christian faith, as Oz Guinness, a mutual friend, as well said, contrast is the mother of clarity. If you want to know if a stick is straight, you lay a straight stick next to it, and then its crookedness will appear by contrast. And so our core value was teaching people essential Christian doctrine so that when a counterfeit looms on the horizon, they would instantaneously recognize that counterfeit. Those were core values for the Christian Research Institute, and therefore we had a moniker. That moniker was, we do what we do because truth matters. But as a result of my intersection with the recovery, a whole other window, as it were, opened up. Through my interactions with the recovery, I learned, in essence, if I may put it that way, that the Christian faith is not transactional, it's transformational. And this is a core value that goes all the way back to the teachings of Watchman Nee. And I think you could say, and you can speak to this more eloquently than I can, that the recovery, the Lord's recovery, the local churches trace their heritage back to a man named Watchman Nee. And Watchman Nee, maybe a little history, 3 years after the communists gained control of China, back in 1949, he was taken into custody, I think it was 1952, and 4 years later convicted of crimes ranging from espionage to counter-revolutionary treason. And yet, until the time of his death in 1972, the light of the indwelling Christ radiated through the crevices of his incarnation and really reached around the world. And a lot of that was due to the leadership of protege Watchman Nee, Nee's passion for the experiential knowledge of Christ, the consecrated life, the recovery of the New Testament pattern for the local church. These kinds of things all date back and all point back to a man whose life in ministry was really quite short, but whose impact is monumental for the kingdom, and certainly it was monumental for me.
Yeah. I think at the time, Hank, when we first met, I'm trying to remember, I'm not sure if you, I think you were familiar with the name. I don't know if you'd ever had read any of Watchman's writings at the time or were aware of his history and story as you've just described it. But, I mean, a very, very unique servant and vessel of Christ in the 20th century. And it's interesting that the Lord raised him up in China, not in North America, not in even Europe, which were, you know, considered Christian in heritage, at least. I mean, here's this completely non-Christian, for all intents and purposes, land halfway around the world, and it was there that the Lord raised him up. And then, of course, just a couple years later, another servant, the two labored side by side for, you know, all those years in China, Witness Lee, I'm talking about, and they both have had an incredible impact on the faith as it is understood and experienced now by people all around the world, and that's kind of an unlikely place from which you'd expect that to happen. And so I was so thrilled later on, I can't remember when we made our first trip to China, Hank, and you know, we wanted you to see, after you began to understand us according to what we are rather than according to the image that had been created, you had a real hunger and desire to see if this can, how this works out, you know, because it's a different approach to, on a lot of levels. It's certainly a different approach from the side of the church. You know, our practice of the church and that is not traditional by Western American or even Western European standards. And, of course, some of our theology, as you quickly identified, yes, it's biblical, and yes, there's historical tethers, you know, to find it in orthodoxy, but it wasn't traditional, and it wasn't the common in the main. And so you were very eager to see it in a number of other contexts. So I remember the first chance we had to go to China together, and I think that was probably a seminal experience for you, wasn't it?
It was in so many different ways. I mean, I still remember, Chris, looking at the luminous faces of people in the first meeting I was in China, and flying back after the experience in a meeting in China, several meetings in China, but the one that's imprinted in my mind that I'm talking about or thinking about right now, I'm flying back from China back to the United States, and I'm thinking about those luminous faces, this otherworldly life that was exhibited by people that I was encountering, and I was thinking, wow, they have something that perhaps I don't have. I have debated truth, I have defined truth, I have defended truth, but they're exemplifying life. They're exemplifying an experience, the experience of Christ. And I started thinking about this in categories. The map is not the territory. The menu is not the meal. It would be a horrific mistake to mistake the cradle for its occupant. And in the lives of the people that I encountered in China, I experienced something that was radically different. People that were not obsessing only on the menu, but what the menu was pointing to, and that is the experience of Christ and the knowledge of Christ. And that became transformational to me in many ways. You and I have a mutual friend. In fact, I would not know him if it were not for you. He's become very, very significant in my life. I won't identify him except for by his first name. His name is Elijah. And I remember being in Southern California with him and handing him a bracelet that had our ministry moniker on it, Because Truth Matters. And he had become a friend of mine, someone that I highly respected in the recovery. In fact, he had been a prophetic voice to me in many ways, someone that said exactly the right thing to me at exactly the right time, such that I could only identify this as coming from the Lord. And so he had great credibility with me, but I handed him that bracelet as a gift as we were walking to a dinner. And he handed it directly back to me and said, well, I think life matters more. That was one of the most awkward experiences I have ever had. Because here I'm walking with a friend, and I had been, as it were, dissed by that friend. I gave him a gift, he handed it back, and I felt terrible. And I remember the rest of that meal was a very awkward time. I tried to engage, but I mean, I was just quenched in the spirit. And I kept thinking to myself, how can life matter more? Maybe it matters as much. Maybe I can grant that, but how can it matter more? But that became a turning point in my life, a seminal point in my life. In fact, not just a seminal point in my life, but it became a seminal point in the life of the ministry of the Christian Research Institute, such that we changed the ministry moniker from Truth Matters to We Do What We Do Because Life and Truth Matter. And I suppose some of the early conversations that I had with you as we traveled, not just to China, but eventually all over the world, some of those conversations were very instructional to me as well. You were talking about the fact that Christ not only came to save us by his death, but to save us into his life. That's biblical.
Yeah, it's very interesting. If I could, maybe I'll circle back to a brief mention of yours in the beginning there when you talked about this matter of deification, how we understand that. And I even then, Hank, I think in 2003 or 4 when we first started talking about that, the matter of deification was almost completely off the table in evangelical circles. It was very, very infrequently, if ever spoken about, and usually if it was, it was in a pejorative sense. And I think no doubt probably due to the influence of groups like the Mormons who have an understanding that is not biblical, and it comes nowhere near what we're talking about. But, you know, you mentioned Athanasius, who's many considers the father of orthodoxy because of his influence at the early councils on matters such as the nature, the two natures of Christ, and things like that. But it was he who uttered that famous, what now has become known, I think, as the Athanasius aphorism: God became man in order to make man God. And Witness Lee said that frequently. However, I think in almost every instance, either implicit or explicit, and usually explicit, he added a qualifier: in life and nature, but not in the Godhead. That goes farther than even the fully orthodox Athanasius went, right? God became man in order to make man God, or so that man might become God in life and nature, but not in the Godhead. And in both cases, in both of those two adjectives, life and nature, I think they're used as adjectives there, they're biblical. Romans 5:10 was the verse you quoted, you know, we're saved, we're justified in his death, but we're saved much more, it says, we shall be saved in his life. And in 2 Peter 1:4, that he says, we are partakers of the divine nature. So both Watchman Nee and Witness Lee put those two together, life and nature. We're born again, right? We're born, that means we receive another life. That's what it is to be born. And in this case, we receive a divine life. And with that life comes a divine nature. But that just completely eliminates, by saying it that way, in life and nature, but not in the Godhead, that precludes any possibility that we're talking about taking on God's non-communicable attributes. We'll never be objects of worship. We're not, you know, we're not omnipresent, omniscient, or what's the third?
Omnipotent.
Omnipotent, right, yeah. We should probably start with that.
And there's many more.
Yeah.
We're not ineffable.
Right, so yeah. those are attributes we'll never participate in.
We'll pick up Hank Hanegraaff's conversation with Chris Wilde in just a few moments. It's arguably the best gift you can give, a changed life, especially when the life you touch goes on to touch others. It's wisely been said that while you can always count the number of seeds in an apple, you can never count the number of apples in a seed. And each gift to touch lives through the life-changing outreaches of the Christian Research Institute is an important seed planted that continues to bear fruit. to be an agent of change in a world that desperately needs the change your support can make possible, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a generous tax-deductible year-end gift. That's 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Hank Hanegraaff and the Christian Research Institute are passionately focused on the ABCs. That's apologetics, biblical literacy, and countering cults, including world religions such as Islam. Make no mistake, there is a rising tide of militant secularism and anti-Christian thinking. Christians worldwide need to be equipped with ABC resources, for if we lose the war on these fronts, our children and grandchildren could inherit the horrors of history that are the absolute antithesis of the meaning of this Christmas season. Reflecting on the genocide that took place under Soviet communism, Alexander Solzhenitsyn wrote, "Men have forgotten God. That's why all this happened." To enable CRI to equip Christians worldwide with vital ABC resources, simply call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ, and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. Dr. Eben Alexander's wildly popular near-death experience book, Proof of Heaven, assures us that no matter what we do in this life, only unconditional love and joy await us in the world to come. But our Lord warned that while the gate to hell is wide, the road to it broad, and those who enter through it are many, the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Your generous support lets Hank Hanegraaff and CRI speak out against the lies that lead to hell. In appreciation for your gift today, we'll rush you Hank's book, Afterlife, What You Need to Know About Heaven, the Hereafter, and Near-Death Experiences, filled with answers to your questions about life after death. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now. Again, that's equip.org. Bible Answer Man broadcast and the Christian Research Institute's growing array of outreaches have never been more needed than they are today. And that's why we boldly ask you to stand shoulder to shoulder with Hank Hanegraaff and CRI in the battle for life and truth through your persistent prayers and generous financial support. As our thanks for your support, you'll receive a copy of Life in the Trinity, An Introduction to Theology with the Help of the Church Fathers by Donald Fairbairn. Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a generous tax-deductible year-end gift to sustain CRI's life-changing outreaches. That's 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Now, let's rejoin Hank Hanegraaff and Chris Wild in their conversation on this special edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast.
You know, I was thinking, we used to talk a lot about things we experienced those days when we were in China and meeting those believers who we'd seen, you know, that had suffered so much more than we've ever suffered, regardless of the bad things that people would say about us and wrong things. But people, as you said, whose lives had been dramatically affected, years of imprisonment, separation from their family, beatings, torture, even death, you know. And I think the thing that you would come away with, and I think you said this to me at one point, I'll try to get it right. But, you know, for many of us who have a, you know, our appreciation of Christ and the gospel may only be at the stage where we think our job is to point people to him. And that's true. I'm not minimizing that. Yeah, we do have that obligation to point people to him. But really, what the kind of Christian life and salvation that the Bible presents to us is not one where we're merely pointing people to Christ, but it's where we are here expressing him, manifesting him, exhibiting him. Those are all biblical concepts, right? And that's what we would see, meeting and talking to these people. And then, boy, it just changes your outlook on everything, doesn't it?
Well, you know, I want to circle back to Gretchen Pasentino because this is a very interesting story as well. I mean, as part of the primary research project, I sent Elliot and Gretchen to China. And there's a story, and you probably know the details of this story much better than I do because you were actually there. I wasn't. But there's a story that really, I mean, it touched me, but it would touch anybody that hears this story. This is the story of someone that wrote misinformation on the Lord's Recovery, on the local churches, and she encounters a man who I think was imprisoned in the Great Persecution of 1983, if I recall correctly.
Yeah, that's correct.
And he was imprisoned when his daughter was born, so she was a newborn, maybe 1 year of age, and he was released from prison after being on death row for 17 years. Gretchen encounters him, and maybe you can take the rest of the story on what happened as a result of that encounter.
Yeah, that's an unforgettable evening. We were having dinner together. In your friend's, the one you talked about, Elijah, in a restaurant he actually is the owner of. And he was at the table, this dear brother, and he was telling the story. And she said, well, why did they arrest you? I mean, she had obviously, you know, she had seen what a dear, genuine brother in crisis was. And she was just kind of mystified. Why would they arrest you and treat you so harshly and severely? What'd they accuse you of? And he said, not knowing even who he was speaking to, he said, well, there was this book that came from America, and it called us all kinds of, you know, horrible things and described our faith and our life in such awful terms. It got translated into China and into the hands of the authorities, and they used that as the grounds to accuse. And then I heard this, and I didn't want to look at it. I didn't want to stare at her for obvious reasons, but I couldn't help it. You know, catch her face, and just as this kind of realization just sort of descended on her, it was, oh gosh, it was an incredible experience, because I could just tell she just figured it out. I mean, you talked about it before. I mean, it's the law of unintended consequences. When she and Elliot and others were writing those things all those years ago, they had no idea that it was going to have any kind of impact like this, you know, halfway around the world. It's just the realization that those words that she felt responsible for had this kind of impact on a person's life. And she first asked a couple of questions. She said, well, 17 years. And he, you know, his daughter was a newborn, as you said, and 17 when he gets out. She said, did you get to see your wife and daughter during those 17 years? He said, yeah, 5 times. Five visits in 17 years. So after composing herself a little bit, this was very touching. I mean, you can imagine. I don't have to elaborate, embellish at all. I mean, I think we all get the sense of what it was like in that room. And then she just began to weep, and she said, brother, I'm the one. Of course, she wasn't singularly the one, but that was the conviction she was under at that moment. She said, brother, I'm the one that was responsible for those writings. How can you ever forgive me? Please, please, I repent. Would you accept my apology? And he was uncomfortable, because his heart was just so pure in the whole thing, and this convicted me. Here, watching him and seeing his response, sister, sister, sister. He said, just please don't apologize to me. You don't owe me an apology. I realized all those years ago that it was not some misguided person that was responsible for me being in that cell. It was my Lord Jesus. He knew what I needed. And many of his faithful ones have been put in these kinds of circumstances, and I count it as an honor. And yes, it cost me my life with my family, and I can't get that back. But what I gained in my experience and love and appreciation for Christ in those years, I would never trade. You do not owe me an apology.
Well, this is one of the... It's one of these moments that you end up being speechless. This is an example, though, of a man who had experienced Christ not just as an intellectual encounter, but a man who had experienced Christ as a person. He had eaten Christ, if you want to put it that way. He had been mingled with Christ. This is one of those words that many people find offensive, but a word that was used in the early Christian church, the idea that there's a mingling that takes place between the uncreated energies of God, for only God is uncreated, or the graces of God, or the sanctification of God, with human energy. Augustine in the West used to liken it to a sponge in the ocean. The sponge absorbs the ocean, but the sponge is still the sponge. The ocean is still the ocean. In the Eastern Church, they likened it as into a sword thrust into hot coals. The sword takes on the property of the fire. The sword becomes red hot, but the fire is still the fire, and the sword is still the sword. But that mingling that takes place that allows us to live, not by might nor by power, but by His Spirit, and as you said earlier, allows us to become partakers of the divine nature such that the man that we're talking about in China was able to live an overcomer's life in prison, on death row, preaching the gospel with conviction, knowing that his fate was certain death. I mean, there was no thought in his mind or the thought in anybody else's mind that he was going to get out of that prison alive. By God's grace, he did, and he continues to be a testimony to this very day. But there was no thought at that time, and yet he lived the overcomer's life in that prison, as did Watchman Nee in his own prison.
Yeah, the testimonies, or the fragments of testimonies that we were able to piece together in the last of Watchman Nee's life, it's of the same cloth, Hank. It's the same overcoming life being lived out of two of God's, you know, children. And it doesn't matter if that's in rural China or modern China or North America or Africa. I mean, that is the great quality of the faith that it just transcends all of man's religious notions and activity that are apart from it, and as well as all of man's evil intents and even his political and secular things that have carved up humanity. When that life is touched in any circumstance, and I think one of the things about that you also picked up having visited our gatherings and congregations and met people all over the world was the realization that, you know, the Christian life works in any setting and in any political environment. It doesn't need, I mean, obviously we prefer the freedom that we have. I would not trade it. But you can be a Christian in a communist country or in a totalitarian country or in a monarchy or in any setting because the life itself isn't held by that and isn't defined by that. In fact, in those more difficult environments, that's when it tends to flourish. And you've taught me a lot about, you know, the history of the Christian church. I mean, it's in those harshest environments sometimes that the life of Christ flourishes in the believers, isn't it?
Yeah, it's absolutely true. And you think about this, maybe an odd segue back to Gretchen. I mean, you talk about the Christian life flourishing in persecution, but it also flourishes when you have to come face to face with yourself and say, we are wrong about something, as Gretchen did. That's when faith flourishes. And I think Gretchen Pasentino as well as Elliot Miller, ended up doing some very stunning things. When you think about the fact that they participated in a fountainhead of misinformation and then had the moral courage, the life of Christ within, to say we were wrong. They were the most likely to want to continue on with their presuppositions rather than to find them wrong, to find them right, to prove that they were right in the first place. And yet, when they encountered the truth, when they recognized that the Lord's recovery, that the local churches were solidly within the framework of orthodoxy, committed to the essentials of the historic Christian faith, not only that, but had something very significant to offer to the broader body of Christ, when they discovered that, they were willing to take their presuppositions and burn them on the altar of conceit and then say, look, we are now going to set the record straight. And I don't know of anyone that did a more masterful job of that than Elliot Miller in our flagship magazine, The Christian Research Journal. And I remember laying on my couch in my office as those articles in that special edition of the Christian Research Journal was being completed, trying to sleep, and the Lord impressing on me, you cannot sweep this under the rug. It's not enough just to pull materials out of circulation. That's not enough. You have to say in big letters, we were wrong.
Well, we've run out of time for today's special edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. To listen to this Hank Unplugged podcast interview with Chris Wild in its entirety, go to equip.org, iTunes, or wherever you listen to your favorite podcast. In just a matter of days, a truly momentous year will be history, and each remaining day matters deeply to all of those served through the Christian Research Institute's outreaches, because in terms of financial health, this week is the most important of the year. If you've already made a year-end gift to CRI, bless you for the difference you've made in the lives we touch together. If you haven't yet made a gift at this critical time, why not do so now? To stand shoulder to shoulder with Hank Hanegraaff and CRI in the battle for life and truth with your year-end gift and receive as our thanks Dr. Donald Fairbairn's book, Life in the Trinity, An Introduction to Theology with the Help of the Church Fathers, call our resource consultants now at 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. You can also write to us at CRI, P.O. Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. Hank Hanegraaff and the Christian Research Institute are passionately focused on the ABCs. That's apologetics, biblical literacy, and countering cults, including world religions such as Islam. Make no mistake, there is a rising tide of militant secularism and anti-Christian thinking.
Christians worldwide need to be equipped with ABC resources, for if we lose the war on these fronts, our children and grandchildren could inherit the horrors of history that are the absolute antithesis of the meaning of this Christmas season. Reflecting on the genocide that took place under Soviet communism, Alexander Solzhenitsyn wrote, "Men have forgotten God. That's why all this happened." To enable CRI to equip Christians worldwide with vital ABC resources, simply call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org, equip.org.